New card. What do you think?
Get over here!
Hadouken!
That man is playing Galaga.
I understood that reference.
You shall not pass!
So say we all.
So say we all.
Run with me.
It's adamantium tasting time, boys.
Well, maybe it's still number one.
All wings report in.
Welcome to your weekly interval. This is the Best Damn Nerd Show. I am your host, Microphone Alchemist James Kincaid. With me tonight, Hall of Fame cyber athlete Jonathan Craig.
How's it going, guys?
Hall of Fame cyber athlete and agent of the Kieran Tor. More on that later, from what I'm told. Mm-hmm. And Professor Chris Davis, ever the stalwart. Missed you last week, but welcome back.
Ah, man. Loki aficionado here and ready to talk about it later on.
Yeah, we'll save that little bit of business for the last segment here, the Best Damn Nerd Show. But welcome back, Nerdosphere. Welcome back, everyone. Davis, understand that you saw our very own head boy lore master Timothy Childs. The podcast has seen hide nor hair of him since the holidays. So we're going on half a year now.
I think he heard rumors that Hogwarts might have moved to the Pacific Northwest, and that's why he might have been up there. He's put down some roots there. It's been interesting. It's been great. I love that he ended up in the city he's in, and because that's where my partner's from. I'm not sure if we're actually saying where he's at.
But Tim Childs is in Portland, Oregon. Go
Portlandia. Good.
You know what? Yeah. Hey, if you have Tim's secret Santa gift that I put a lot of time and thought into getting for him, and you want to take it to him, he lives in Portland, Oregon. So go seek him out and give it to him.
I had such a good time.
And stalk him.
Seeing him, just as I do whenever I get around one of you guys. It's like nothing's changed, you know, since college. I mean, outside of,
you know. Because he's like Loki, because deep down he's the same guy.
He's the same guy since phase one.
He's a little god of mischief.
Tim is the most like Loki of all of
he
us.
He absolutely is. He's Gaius Baltar. He is Loki. Like,
I don't know if I told this story on the podcast, but I was working on a show with him probably like 5 years ago, and every morning he would come in before everybody, and he would turn the air conditioner down by 1 degree. And he wouldn't, but he wouldn't tell anyone. And so, like, 3 weeks in, people are like cold, they're shivering, they're like wearing blankets, and like the women in the office are like, it's so cold in here, what's going on? And then one of them finally gets up the nerve to like go check the AC, and it's set to like 57 degrees, and they're like, what, who would set this to 57? This is outrageous. And they turn it up, and then literally the next day he comes in and starts turning it down 1 degree every day. He never told a soul. I don't even think he told me until he had gone through the cycle like two or three times. It's like you are an actual psychopath.
That
is psychopathic behavior. Yeah, it's just the thing is he does things purely for his own entertainment and enjoyment. It's not for anybody else.
Yep, that is Loki.
He's probably doing a podcast on his own right now that he's not putting out.
Yeah, absolutely right.
It's funny because it's not like he did it all at once. He did it incrementally because he's wanting to make them like adjust their body temps gradually. Yes. You know, it's a psychological physiological thing.
It's a complete psychological experiment, dude. Like he's legitimately a sociopath. Like he'll do things like just to get someone's reaction. Or okay, so like we lived together in Los Angeles. Last story, and then I swear we can move on from Tim.
No, Tim, listen, he's not coming on the podcast, so Tim's stories are the only way we can remember him.
Once a year, maybe.
We lived together in LA for a couple years after college, and we'd like go out, we would both put our keys like near the front door. Like I always put my keys in the same spot so I don't lose them. And we would like go out to eat or something and come back, and I'd go to unlock the door, and like I have like these rubber things on my keys because all my keys are the same, so I have the rubber things on them with like the colors, so like I know what color goes to what lock. And I would put the fucking blue one in, which is for the door and it wouldn't work. And then like a month would pass and we'd go out to dinner and I had been using the green one because apparently that's the one for the door. And now the green one doesn't open the door. And I would, dude, I know Tim. And so I accused him of changing the little rubber things. And he would never admitted it. But I can just, like, I'm just picturing him.
Did he ever cop to it?
He's never admitted it, dude. He's never admitted it. But I know it was him. I know it was him because he would, dude, just picture Tim. Okay, like, I've gone to bed or whatever. He goes and gets my keys, and he takes them off the ring, changes the rubber harness that they're in, and then puts them back on the ring. Never tells me about it. And he probably didn't tell anybody. He's probably never
maniac.
Told. He's insane.
Oh, it's just for him. It's just
he's
for
a
him.
Psycho.
No,
he is a psycho.
No, John, the changing out the rubber things was too difficult, so he was just having new keys made and having them put on the new distinct color to change them out. And in his room was just a shoebox full of your house keys.
I'm helping him move out.
Probably human teeth in there as well. Oh, crazy God. Person. He's so insane. But Davis, you saw him, so what'd you guys do? How was it?
We had a late night barbecue. His wife was there. We had a great talk.
Delightful. Best thing about Tim.
I met his new dog, which was like a wind hound or something like that. And you know, just like Tim, it's a little weird looking.
Yeah, his
and
dog
little,
is
and a
so
little finicky.
It's such a Tim dog, dude.
Yeah, but it was actually very lovely. He was a pretty cool dog. Yeah. Got along with my dogs pretty good. But his house was cool, and we all talked till like midnight, and then I made him buy me an Uber because my phone died.
Okay, well that makes it a little bit more excusable.
I will say he has quite the murder basement. I did not know this about Portland. Lot of murder basements.
Yeah, there are a lot of basements in Portland.
Yeah, sure. And a lot of square footage that who knows what he could be doing.
What's
I'm just
the
saying,
address there in Portland?
We need to keep an ear out for any mysterious happenings around that area, I will say.
Yeah.
Good old Timbo Slice.
His wife told me, she's like, I'm the only one that goes down to the basement because that's where their laundry is. He's like, he sends me down there. He won't do it.
Yeah, that's also true to form that he'd be skittish about going down there.
Yeah, he's just gonna lock the door and then just she just lives down there.
Well,
plenty of room.
Yeah, spread out, Laura. You're gonna be here for a while.
I'm glad that Tim can live on in story time here at the Best Damn Nerd Show. So yeah, lore master Timothy Childs, we miss you, but I'm glad you got to catch up with Professor Davis. John, a pastime that you shared with Tim, past tense, I don't know about now, but World of Warcraft has pulled you back in. What's going on?
So they released a major content update, like the first major content update of this expansion. So it's new raid, new dungeon. New zone, all kinds of new like mounts and cosmetics and equipment and all this stuff. So yeah, it came out this last week. I've been playing a lot since it came out. I have mixed feelings about the content patch as a whole, but there was a big story progression that happens at the end of this raid, and the cutscene has been posted online and everything. And Sylvanas has. Sylvanas has betrayed the jailer who she was working for, and presumably he was the one who was encouraging her to like burn the world tree and everything. Well, he finally got everything he needs to like take a step further and, you know, recreate reality, which is what he says his goal is. And Sylvanas at the last minute like turned and shot an arrow at him and betrayed him. And so he's like, you know, basically, I'm going to leave your fate up to these people, who are like the heroes of the Alliance and Horde, who are in the Maw trying to fight the jailer and Sylvanas. So he leaves Sylvanas with everybody else in like a weakened state. And then he like pulls a soul crystal out and crushes it. And like part of her soul is restored to her. So like, you know, Sylvanas has been this like evil, crazy bitch since Arthas killed her. And she's been in league with the jailer to like destroy all of reality, or whatever her end game goal was at the time. And now by betraying him, he's restored her soul back. And so I think everyone's big fear right now is that Blizzard is going to try to do like a redemption arc for her. Like, it, you know, she was like beside herself when she was burning the World Tree and committing genocide to the Night Elves and doing all these horrible things. It wasn't really her. We have to forgive her. But ultimately, like,
sounds like Sylvie.
Yeah. So the end of this cutscene, the end of this cutscene is like her passing out, saying like, "We can't let him get to where he's trying to go." And then she like passes out, and the cutscene goes black. I feel like they should have just extended it 5 more seconds and then just had, you know, Bolvar or someone just like stomp her skull and just kill her right there. Bolvar, like Sylvanas, my dog. Sylvanas has to go, dude.
Sylvanas. Wait a minute, has to go. Sylvanas, Sylvie. Weird. Ooh. Weird. Just two shit characters.
Yeah.
I did not like how she did Bolvar for Dragon Lich King in the story trailer for this game, but I'm always happy when you're getting more into WoW.
You should definitely like at the very least watch like the cutscenes, James, that come out and like catch up on the story, because what it seems like they're trying to do with Sylvanas is very interesting and distressing at the same time. Like she has been nothing if not pure evil the entire time. Like, not yes. redeemable at all. She literally committed genocide on the Night Elves. She burned
yes.
the entire yep. world tree to yeah. the ground to send all the souls to the Maw.
You cannot tell. I mean, Sionin was inconsolable, crying in the arms of her lover Sionin, and husband, Kinkadius.
Sionin is now a Tauren.
No, like, Sionin was forever like Night Elf. Fuck you, Tim.
That game doesn't even exist anymore.
I mean, she was so distraught by the destruction of the World Tree.
Yeah,
that
we should definitely have like a segment at some point where you catch up on the lore and we discuss, maybe at the end of this expansion before whatever next one comes out, but.
You need to find me a good channel that just gives me the story that's been going on, you know? I do mean all of it, like quest story too. Like, I need.
Oh, dude, there are channels. So I would say probably the best channel for lore in terms of best production and like how they connect everything together is the Bellular Gaming channel. And
okay.
I linked you a video from that. The level of like detail that he goes into, and it's down to like, this is what you'll appreciate it. He goes down to like, hey, there's a tome on the ground in this building, in this zone. And if you read it, here's the poem that it says. And here's what it's referencing. And it's referencing like a folk and fairy tales book that was published. And that's referencing some other thing from another obscure quest from Classic WoW. And that all gets us to where we are now. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, send me the link. I'm into that. Davis
no,
is
no John.
Davis is not amused.
I kind of want James to watch it all so that I don't have to, and James can just like be James can just be that tome of knowledge that like tells me what's going on when I'm just running around killing shit aimlessly. You know.
Well, that's kind of my role that I had when you know I would watch you play anyway, because I would finish up playing and then I would be telling you the motivation.
I mean, if people cared about his opinion, it might matter, but. You know, nobody.
Prove to me that you're not a robot. Click on all the images that contain a fire hydrant, you son of a bitch. God dang. All right. I want to end this first segment on a rather somber note. Richard Donner passed away at the age of 91, so he lived a good full life, but he certainly. Left a huge impact on the film world. I think most notably to most people listening to this show, of course, the Christopher Reeve Superman movie, which is, you know, hugely important and, you know, a game changer in that genre and brings us to, you know, for better or worse, where we are today with the genre. But at the time, I mean, was great. I think a lot of it still holds up and it impacted a lot of people. And I wanted to read, before we get into some of the other things that he did, from Marvel Studios, Kevin Feige. He said, "Richard Donner not only made me believe a man could fly, he made me believe that comic characters could be brought to life on the big screen with heart, humor, humanity, and verisimilitude. one of my favorite words. Above all, he taught me that it can and must be done with respect, caring, and kindness to everyone in front of and behind the camera. Dick and Lauren became mentors during my early career and key supporters throughout the birth of the MCU. I owe my career to the way they took the time to nurture and teach a kid from New Jersey who didn't know how to use a fax machine or make coffee very well. I always thought Dick was immortal. I still do. My thoughts are with Lauren and the entire family. Kevin Feige. Very well said. And important to reflect on a lot of those things in terms of storytelling. But Richard Donner also did The Omen, the original 1976 Omen, which is one of my all-time favorite horror films. If you haven't seen it, go out of your way to check it out. Gregory
Lethal
Peck.
Lethal Weapon, dude.
Dude, the Lethal Weapon franchise. Goonies Never Say Die. He did.
Kojak.
He did a lot.
He did three episodes of Tales from the Crypt, Davis.
Yeah, Dave.
Respect the man.
Davis is unmoved.
Yeah, I like none of these had any.
You weren't into the Goonies? You weren't into the Goonies, dude?
No, I watched it. It wasn't like a really big impact on me. I went to Astoria, Oregon, and watched and looked where it was. I was like, hey, you know, I watched that movie once.
How about The Twilight Zone?
No.
See, my dad would know because he did several episodes of The Rifleman, Have Gun, Will Travel. He did a bunch of like westerns.
I mean, honestly, Lethal Weapon was probably the most, and that's mostly just because of Always Sunny in Philadelphia and how much they've.
Oh my god!
All right, fair enough. Well. You know, a race well run by Richard Donner. He reached a lot of people, maybe not everyone on this podcast, but he reached a lot of people. Hey, that's okay. That's totally fine. But yeah, race well run. Rest in peace. And we're going to take a break. On the other side, we'll be talking about Comic-Con at home. Maybe a little bit of the Tomorrow War, Chris Pratt feature. I'm gearing up to get ready to go back to the movie theater. More on the other side on the Best Damn Nerd Show.
Hey everyone, Chris Seglia here, CEO of the 10O Media Network. I would like to say thank you for checking out one of our podcasts, but we need your help. You can support 10O in a multitude of ways. By going to our website and checking out our latest podcasts, by buying some sweet merch, joining our Discord, or getting early and exclusive access to all content via our Patreon. Your support means the world to us, and you can find everything on our website, www.10-o.gg. That's TEN-O.gg. Thank you again. And now, back to the show.
It's the microphone alchemist Bimbo Jimbo here. And when I'm not verbally super kicking Last Jedi fans on the Best Damn Nerd Show or fantasy casting The Rock in another movie on the DLC, well, that's when I actually get to talk about wrestling. That's right. Come join me in the wrestling war room where I take my mic to the mat and launch my hot takes about the Wednesday night war between AEW and NXT. The Wrestling War Room, which side are you on?
Hey, nerd. Loremaster Tim here, and I've come with a rather indecent proposal. We want you to join in the conversation. If you aren't already a member of our Discord, what are you even doing? You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at TheBDNS. And if you're crazy, odds are we'll talk about it on the show. So get kooky, and above all, let's get nerdy.
Welcome back to the Best Damn Nerd Show. James Kincaid alongside Professor Chris Davis and Jonathan Craig. And before the break, we mentioned Chris Pratt's latest release, the sci-fi vehicle, The Tomorrow War. I had heard nothing about it. And then all of a sudden I saw, you know, it creeping up on social media and everything like that. And thought, you know what? What the heck? I got nothing better going on. Might as well give it a whirl. How bad could it be?
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it was so. Keep that in mind. I came in with zero knowledge, zero expectations, and a moderate adoration of Chris Pratt. I like the guy, even if he's in those terrible Jurassic World movies. Ugh. I just kind of like the guy. Seems like a good dude. But the Tomorrow War, Davis also watched it. A little bit of a mini movie night segment here. As we'll dive into it a little bit. Davis, you said during the break, guaranteed a fun segment. So what'd you think of the Tomorrow War?
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Hey, Buttercup.
You will, because you and our Discord, bestdamnerdshow.com/discord, join us in the conversation. You said,
oh, thank you.
You really enjoyed it.
I did, for what it was.
This was something that you really enjoyed. And holy shit, was it bad.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Look, there's definitely what I said on Facebook.
No.
The Tomorrow War was ridiculous, and it was a lot of fun. It was enjoyable, but there were times like I could have like the Volcano Kid. If you want to get into that, definitely like that was crossing the line with me. Like for the most part, the Tomorrow
War. You want to telegraph something? You want to telegraph something? Holy shit.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, the Volcano Kid. Your thoughts.
Yeah. No, there was a scene at the beginning of the movie. Chris Pratt is a science teacher, a very underappreciated science teacher, because he should be in some bigger role, probably, in the science industry.
He has a glorious purpose.
And he's asking, you know, the kids what they want to talk about because of what's happened. And to go over what's happened during the World Cup in 2022, future soldiers from 2050 or so have come back to let everybody know that the human race is going to be extinct. And I love that they came out during the World Cup, except that I don't think America would actually get on board.
No, but the rest of the world. But the rest of the world did.
Yeah, but. But could you imagine if they like did like, well, World Cup might be a little much.
It should have been the Super Bowl.
Let's go with cricket, because that's the second most watched sport
in
the world.
Bane already did football.
So I wish they did cricket, because
is cricket really the second most watched?
Can't be
in the world.
In the world,
yeah, I think it is.
Oh, First of all, I wanted to talk about the Volcano Kid, and yes, that was over the line in terms of the camp and like stupid factor, the absurd. Yeah. The absurdity level that happens in this movie.
Okay, my big gripe with this movie is it moves incredibly fast, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's an action flick. It knows what it is. However, when it gets to the point of he comes back with the serum or the toxin that's going to kill the white spikes. It should end. Like, there should be like a little bit of dialogue there.
So you liked this movie so much is that you wanted a sequel. Is that what I'm hearing?
I wanted a trilogy.
Oh, sounds like a pretty good movie if you want two more.
It could be. It fucking could be if it ended at the right time. The lore, that's what I'm getting on here, I think there is a lot to go on here. I think there's a lot of story. There's a lot, so much to dive into that was just glossed over.
They did cram a lot in.
What I read, it was a lot of COVID reasoning.
Sure.
Okay, I get it. But you have two movies here, easily. Yeah. You have two easily done movies here.
I would agree with that. I didn't mind that they wrapped it all up because. You know, whatever. Like I said, coming into this with zero expectations, I probably would have been more bummed out if I didn't get a resolution, because it's like, who knows if I'll watch the second one. I really enjoyed watching this, and I think mainly because they hooked me immediately with their time travel premise. It's a cool time travel premise. A future draft of the past. Mm-hmm. Like, it's super unique. The idea that they can only draft people into the future if they're already dead in that, you know, in that point in time as well was super interesting.
With no kids.
Exactly. And well, but Chris Pratt comes forward and his daughter is the
Colonel. I'm sorry, with no new kids at that time.
So that to me just was a really interesting time travel concept. So they got me right in the early going, and I actually really appreciated the dynamic between Chris Pratt and his daughter. Also, a yoked out J.K. Simmons is in this movie, and that dude is killing it right now. Honestly, this movie would have benefited from more J.K. Simmons.
It's like when he got the role for his voice acting in Invincible, they didn't tell him it was an animated show.
Yeah, seriously.
Jack,
dude, he's so
he was
so
like
mad.
Norm Brady. He's like, Jay, this is a cartoon. Oh man. Oh, well, I'm ready for this movie then. That's good.
So method he became Omni-Man. Yeah. But I really liked the scenes. Like, they are so overwhelmed by the creatures, the white spikes or whatever. I actually think the white spikes looked pretty good.
Yeah.
They weren't what I was expecting in terms of what we'd be going against in this movie. They're sort of Rachni or Tyranid-esque. There are certain similarities to Starship Troopers in this, yeah. For sure.
There were very cool aspects of the white spikes, because they kept – it wasn't just the evolution of the white spikes of where they came from. It was the evolution of the white spikes throughout the movie of what they were capable of. And at the beginning, it was just like an arachnid, like you're talking about, James, of Starship Troopers bugs. They shoot spikes. Bam, bam, bam. Here we go. And now it's like, okay, cool. We're trying to take the queen. They're coming off the cliff. Oh, shit. They actually have, like, flying squirrel wings, and they can glide. Now they can take out flying things. Okay, now we're at the end of the movie. Now we're in this water world base. No, they can't get there. Okay, that makes sense. Oh, no, they can swim, too.
Yeah.
FYI, by the way, they can do everything.
They were very unrelenting. I got like World War Z vibes from them,
yeah,
actually,
right.
with how they overtook places and even just the visuals of it. It's funny, you talk about the projectiles that they shoot out, the literal spikes. Reminded me of, funny enough, Spike from X-Men 3, how his projectiles looked, you know, depending on how you feel about X-Men 3, whatever. Greatest casting of all time, Kelsey Grammer's Beast.
And they communicated. Like, they would go and they were trying to corner people. They were trying to flank. Like, they would talk.
Chris Pratt was definitely playing this at least on the mode where the AI was pretty decent. So,
yeah. But there was plenty of moments where, like, well, I thought they could do this, so why aren't they?
And I've seen the polarizing reaction. Look, I'm not going to act like this is anything that's going to win an Oscar or anything like that, but I enjoyed watching it. And one of the things that somebody texted me as a detraction point from this was, and it's something that I felt while I was watching it, it plays out like a video game. Like, this is the storyline. What I was saying, I was like, oh man, this would make a badass video game, is one of the first things I thought about. And it might have made a better video game than a movie. You can make that argument for sure. Like, I would absolutely 10 out of 10 play this video game. Conceptually, again, the uniqueness of their time travel concept is great. They did have to get a lot in to end it all in one movie. The Volcano Kid was one point that was over the line. For the most part, I thought they struck the right amount of camp. The other part, though, and it is a key part that was a little bit much, was when J.K. Simmons, and spoiler alert, everybody, is going to do the fatherly sacrifice thing and apologize, only for like a CGI Chris Pratt to intercept the white spike queen. But other than that specific moment, though, that whole last fight with the queen was pretty awesome. Like, I love the sniping, how he disguised, like the disguise in the snow. J.K. Simmons is great. Needed more. Yeah. Give me more. I got to have more J.K. Simmons.
No, it was fine. It was just like, it just seemed so rushed. And that final fight was good up until the last half of it. But no, I think there was so much more lore there. And the Volcano Kid, okay. But I think my biggest issue with he comes back with the serum, and these trainees know who the Colonel is. They know who he is. And he has a vial, and they're not going to take it from him. They're not going to extrapolate that to make more, to try.
Well, the people from the future did end up making as much of the serum as they could. It was the people from their time that when
but
the government
why are they
stopped
convincing
cooperating,
them?
They tried. And I grant you that might be a weaker point of the film, and if they had more time, they could have focused on that.
You're right.
But
they tried.
Have to, yeah, they're expecting a little bit of buy-in that they lost the war, and the mentality of all the world's governments is, hey, we lost the war, so we're going to take care of our own until
everybody's
the inevitable happens
and all that. Yeah.
Yes, and that whole idea, and hey, it's got a pro prevent climate change message to it too, because if we continue on this path, ladies and gentlemen, as the ice caps continue to melt, we got some fucking bug aliens. They're going to wake up in the heart of the gulag in Russia and kick our asses, dude.
It was so heavy on the climate change aspect.
I don't even think it was that heavy. I mean, I think it was just like,
so
I think
obvious.
It was just like a device so to justify where, the, but I mean,
I'm fine with that, because people, hey, guess what? Get on board. We're dying.
I thought, well, not from the aliens, not yet, but no. I thought it was a fine device to justify how they woke up, though. You know, like,
oh,
granted, maybe don't go to a kid in a like a high school science class to get your volcano knowledge.
It's like, you know, I'm sure there's one kid we know world. About.
Yeah. That was a little.
He's
a
like,
little
if, you put baking, if you put the baking soda in first, and then you put the.
That's who we're gonna go
yeah,
with here.
Yeah, seriously, we all remember that volcano science project. That's a great call, John.
You got the blue ribbon, dude.
That was one of my favorite projects.
That's why I thought they were going with that kid in the beginning. It was like, oh yeah, no, every science project he just does a volcano. He's just an expert at
I think he
history
yeah,
volcanoes.
Apparently is like a volcano savant.
But
apparently, which is interesting.
I did like the lore of this. I like the science aspects of it. I my big gripe, and it was very hard to get by for me, was that this could be so much more than what it was. And I think they needed to give them a little bit more credit to themselves about what they had here. And
I thought, yeah.
And I think it could have been fleshed out a lot better and,
the heart of the movie really worked for me too, in terms of the family underpinnings, like the dynamic between Chris Pratt and his daughter. When you see them in the past, that he is a very loving, devoted father, like that all plays. Only for him to find out that his future self, that he ended up leaving them and like sort of abandoned, like, but it wasn't him, so he can't even relate to that. So I don't know. I just that was a very unique family dynamic to play out on screen as well, and it all. I don't know, it all worked for me. And him having to watch his daughter die in the future, that's fucked up, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. Nah, bro. Like, there's so much wrong with that final scene with him and his daughter. It's not the final scene, it's the last of the future scenes. She, you know, spoiler alert, Queen shoots her, stabs her, she's dying, she's bleeding out, she ain't gonna make it.
She ain't gonna make it anyway, though.
She ain't gonna make it, exactly.
It's Rogue One. We aren't getting off this planet. They're blowing up the fucking planet.
This whole thing is like, bro, Chris Pratt, just fucking hide in a closet until your timer goes off.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care.
Don't care because it's not your daughter. It's not our daughter.
No, it's his daughter.
You
in the future,
Natalia.
But he's going to protect her past daughter for living past that time. Otherwise, that daughter is going to die at that same moment.
Well, here's the thing. If they stop them before it ever happened, that daughter ceases to exist. That timeline ceases to exist. And then we have the TVA come and prune everybody. Because it's a nexus.
Oh, my God.
Which is also stupid. Let me just put it this way. The Tomorrow War does time travel way better than Loki does. So that's
no.
That's the bottom line. Does it way better. And it's way more interesting. 5 minutes of the Tomorrow War, and I was way more interested in the time travel of that movie than I was at all in Loki, which we will talk about coming up in the final segment of this show. But you know, Tomorrow War, I would have liked to. It got me thinking, it's like, you know what? I do want to go back to the movies. This would have been a fun one to just get a big old popcorn and a soda. You know, maybe we sneak in after watching Season of the Witch with Nicolas Cage and Ron Perlman, and then we go.
I go Willy's Wonderland and then this one. And then that's a great double feature. That could have been if COVID didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know. This is one, you know, I risk it all.
But I would give my money to Willy, though. I give my money to Willie.
Nah, I give my money to Chris Pratt, dude. You know, he's probably gonna get bilked in that divorce with Anna Faris. I don't know. Maybe he already has. I don't know. Or maybe he hasn't. I don't know. Who cheated on who in that?
Go Anna.
I mean, I like them together though, for whatever reason. Anyway, the Tomorrow War. I say, do yourself a favor. Go ahead and give it a watch.
The time travel concept
is very interesting to me. I had fun watching it.
100%.
I can't stop thinking about the fact that it would have been a great fucking video game. It would have been an awesome video game. And I liked his little squad of buddies too. I liked that guy that was dying of cancer, so he essentially was playing with house money, just trying to kill those white spikes. That was good stuff, man.
I do like him. The side characters were, eh.
Some, I mean, they were all winners. They really are.
The comedy aspect.
You didn't like it. That's weird. From you, I thought you'd just be lapping it up.
Yeah. So you didn't like it?
No,
right?
I've already pointed out the things that like, for the most part, they struck the right amount. They punctuated. They didn't punctuate serious scenes with comedy. I did not like the fact that our volcano expert was a child, and like too much hinged on that. And I've called that out, and I've called it out as being ridiculous at times. But overall.
You didn't like the shit going down the stairs?
That actually didn't bother me because what the fuck would my reaction be?
I thought that was hilarious.
I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was actually kind of authentic because they were not trained soldiers other than Chris Pratt, who did time in Iraq.
Yeah.
Or his character. I don't think Chris Pratt actually served.
They all should have been dead at the very beginning of that battle.
A lot of them did die, and even that guy that was saying shit, even that guy, but he only lived because he admits to the fact that he says, I hid.
That was on his second deployment.
He said he hid.
Yeah.
So, like,
and that's what I would have done. I gotta hide for 7 days? Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, dude,
I'll do that.
Tim's like, that's a snap for Tim Childs. It's like, I'll disappear. So the premise, John, is after 7 days, this time draft, they get like snapped back to their time. And time keeps moving while they're gone, too. So they are gone for a week of their own time, and a week advances. Wow. The idea, it's like, it's two points in the time stream that are tethered together by a line, but it keeps going down the time current. So that's why they can't just, why don't we just travel into the future when we know about this? Like, cause it doesn't work that way. They are already at this point in the future and things keep moving. So I don't know. I thought it was a very interesting attack on time travel.
Yeah,
it was a fun sci-fi shoot 'em up with some buggy aliens.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, it does sound like an interesting video game for sure.
Yeah, it would have been an even better video game for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, maybe there'll be a virtual panel on it at Comic-Con at home. It is July. Nah. It is the Comic-Con season. One of our favorite times of year here at the Best Damn Nerd Show. Love the con. It is unfortunately still Comic-Con at home this year, and a little bit of news from, you know, if you were expecting big stuff coming from Marvel Studios or DC Films and Warner Brothers, get used to disappointment because they are both skipping Comic-Con at home. So
they're not going to be a part of it at all, or they're just not doing major announcements?
I don't believe they're going to be a part of it at all.
That's crazy.
Certainly nothing major coming out of it.
Understandable.
Well, yeah, Comic-Con at home last year was, other than our hanging out and getting people involved on the Discord, underwhelming, to say the least. You know, and, you know, Happy Trails, Lovecraft Country, which got canceled. You know, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. So
it's kind of crazy that, like, I mean, we had a similar conversation after E3 this year about big publishers skipping E3 or withholding big announcements and kind of just like reminding people what they're already doing. But E3 actually had like pretty good production value on some of their panels this year because they did them like in studios or in venues that looked big and had a lot of budget. And looking back at last year's Comic-Con at home, it's such a miss. The way they, even just like the execution of it, like it's such low effort way.
Looking back on it, we knew that when it happened.
Yeah. And granted, I know they were only like a couple months into the pandemic at that point, but like there was a way to do better execution and just have more interesting panels and content, right?
Dude,
like that's
there was a better one a month later. In DC universe.
Yes, fandom, which, yeah, fandom. The DC fandom, which I guess Comic-Con at Home will have a Legends of Tomorrow panel. So if you are still a fan of that show,
I think the problem that with Comic-Con is like it's always – Comic-Con has always been an in-person activation. It's never been like a big streaming moment the way like E3 has. So like the way E3 approached it this year by doing a convention online but having these big stage announcements – even without like big live audiences, like it still feels good. Comic-Con has never really been that. Like even the stuff that is video of Comic-Con is like a camera on like a bunch of dudes sitting in front of microphones like this. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing with Comic-Con, it's not like a show. And I'm glad we're getting into this discussion because that's more broadly what I want to talk about in terms of the usefulness and I guess the importance of a convention like that. Granted, it's still going to be wildly popular because it is a very sort of – it's an event to be seen at. You know, it's something to be a part of. So I'm not saying that its popularity is going to just fall off a cliff or anything like that. But I think the importance of it to these studios as being shown – certainly it's Comic-Con at Home. But Marvel skipped it before for D3, their own convention. And now Disney is utilizing more and more their – like their – what is it? Their shareholder meetings, announcements to get their stuff out there. Like the ability to sort of like the world has changed since Comic-Con really rose to its prominence. Even when social media was still around, stuff like that, Comic-Con was still like this sort of mythical thing that you go to Hall H and that's where you get to see the trailers and stuff like that. And I think the studios at some point decided it's like, well, yeah, that's a great way to generate buzz, but now we control it so much and it is so like the desire for it is such that it's better for us to show it in Hall H and then like an hour later blast it out on our YouTube channel anyway so more people see it. And the importance of actually being there.
But that approach doesn't beam out this content like to the same degree that it would if Comic-Con was just a show, which is something that granted they weren't equipped to do before the pandemic started. So like when they had to pivot last year, like they definitely weren't equipped to do it. Like they weren't even doing that before the pandemic. So trying to put on just a streamed version of Comic-Con was impossible for them because they weren't thinking about it that way, the way E3 does. But realistically, you need to like, they should have been looking at what E3 had been doing the last like 4 or 5 years with these giant streams, this show, the fact that like E3 has a million concurrent viewers on Twitch, YouTube, and all the different platforms that it's on at any given time, like any time of day, it doesn't matter what panel it is, who's talking. Obviously more people tune into like Nintendo, Sony, and Xbox, but you know the same would be true of Marvel or DC at Comic-Con, right? But like ultimately make it a show. It should have been a show starting 5-6 years ago when streaming was getting really, really big. It's crazy that this is just now becoming like the thing that they're trying to do.
It's interesting, but I think Comic-Con is so all-encompassing and it's so sort of modular and it is so, you know, people have their different niches and stuff like that that they want to go check out. Like I always look for HP Lovecraft stuff at Comic-Con. That's not going to be on the main page.
The same thing is true
of
gaming too, though.
Sure, absolutely. But from the start, E3 has been tailored to sort of be this streamlined style show. Comic-Con has this lineage and it's a very different beast than E3.
It is.
Now, granted, they should have pivoted for Comic-Con at Home to do that. And DC fandom blew everything out of the water.
Because it was a show. They produced an actual show.
And they had great content and, you know, they don't need Comic-Con anymore. And they might not ever need them again. I'm not saying they're not going to show up there. I just do think it's interesting that it's like you needed it and then now they're like branching. Well, it's just, and I do think it's cyclical. I think it's going to come back around.
I agree. When it becomes, when like people are vaccinated and you can do big gatherings like that in California again, it will come back. And I think some of these big publishers will come back. I don't know that they'll use it as a platform for their big announcements if they've built up their own platforms at that point, but I think it will come back. I think the beauty of Comic-Con is always going to be walking around, looking at the different artists, looking at the like smaller booths, like trying to get some exclusives, you know, like trying to get your hands on some stuff, and just the memories of just how big it is, and the coming together of it all, which
yeah, that's what it is,
which you don't get when it's a show streaming on Twitch, but they still need to do that, and hopefully this is a lesson for Comic-Con. Like, you should have been doing this starting in 2016 or before, and then you didn't, and then
I'm Comic-Con all for a culling of the herd.
Yes, and then Comic-Con at home happened, and now like you guys are in a really bad spot because you're. Well, hopefully they actually do a show this year.
And I mean, listen, God knows even if it calls money. Our press passes, I'm fine with a natural selection vibe, and if it dies down a little bit. And for the record, I'm one of the curmudgeons that thought that, hey, don't release these trailers like for everyone to watch, including me, because I didn't camp out to go to Hall H to see it. That sucks for those people.
So you're saying, in a way, it would be actually kind of awesome if, like, Comic-Con did die down a little bit and it became this, like, super niche convention.
I don't think super niche. I don't think we're going to get to a point where it's, like, this small thing or whatever. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the time where maybe, like, the time where all of the major news about these types of properties being broken at Comic-Con is gone. You know, news will still come out, details will still be fleshed out, but the like years past, like I think probably peaked in 12 or 13 or whatever of, hey, you go to like Jon Favreau, like with his understanding, like when he came in with Harrison Ford and Cowboys and Aliens and was like, yeah, no, I can't go to Comic-Con and not have footage. Like he said that to the audience. He's like, my people are telling me we won't have footage ready. And I said, that's unacceptable. We're going to Comic-Con. You don't understand what it's like. Like the need to have that and have it be exclusive for Comic-Con, it will still happen. But I don't think studios view it as a must anymore.
They might not view it as a must, but this is the closest we've got now to a live sporting event and a live nerd event. Because why do you go to a sports game? You can watch it on TV right now. You can get a much better angle, much better view of everything you're watching, just like a trailer. You go there for the experience. You go there to go hang out with your buddies. You go there to get the exclusives. You go there to a sports game to have the, the grill out beforehand to tailgate. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten so close together now that they need to view a live sporting event and these nerddom events as the same, because we are going to still want to go in droves because we want to be around same-minded people that have that energy that means so much at these events. And that's what we need, and that is what's going to drive, that's what's going to propel us to push your product more.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like that's the juice. And so that's why I'm saying if a little bit of the foam off the top gets scraped away and it just condenses a little bit, like I haven't been there for a few years, but my favorite convention to go to was WonderCon because it was like a diet Comic-Con. You still got like all the big properties were there and everything like that. You even got to see clips from like my very first WonderCon. I it was when it was still in San Francisco, and I've told this story a bunch of times. I walked in. It was like a 5-minute line to get into the Watchmen panel for the movie that hadn't come out yet. And they showed us the first 20 minutes of the movie, and they had the whole cast there, and it was a great panel. I was like, dude, this is terrific. And you could just like the hassle of Comic-Con because it has gotten so big. If it shrinks a little bit, I think that'll be for the benefit of everyone. And it is interesting that it's like streaming services, right? Like Comic-Con essentially was cable for nerddom and all these new properties, and now everybody's getting their own. They're cutting the cord, so you gotta watch DC fandom. You gotta do D23 or whatever to get your Marvel and Star Wars stuff. So it is just kind of an interesting dynamic.
It's like people might look back on like 2019 Comic-Con or 2018 Comic-Con and be like, well, Marvel and DC aren't there anymore, so it's just not the same that it was. But it's like maybe it wasn't that great when you couldn't really engage with any of the activations because there were too many people there, and like you had to like squeeze through people.
It's stressful, dude.
It is. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard.
It, like I recommend everybody, if you're into any of this or stuff, you should at least go to one Comic-Con, because I think your first experience oftentimes, like, it's just, it's so indelible. I remember this sensory overload when I stepped in there with somebody's pass. I had to buy off somebody at Craigslist because I got sold a bad bill of goods that I was going to be able to use somebody's uncle's pass the whole week, but I was lied to. Anyway, not their fault. But yeah, it's just if it dies down just a little bit, the demand is still there, the hunger is still there, and anytime you still get these, you know, any level of cast members or former cast members going to these things, it's still going to be huge. It's going to be massive. It's still going to be the biggest one of its kind, but it's going to be a little bit different, I think, moving forward. And just the dynamic is shifting a little bit. And it'll be interesting to see if DC Fandom becomes an in-person convention, an on-site in-person convention. I'm interested to see that, how that would go, or if they bring the Fandome and they put it in like the Hilton or whatever Comic-Con on a specific day, and that is the DC Fandome. I think that there's some interesting developments to come with this, but it's Comic-Con season, and you know, we had to bring it up a little bit. I'm sure some more stories will break on this. Some of us will be meeting up. I don't know how much Comic-Con at home coverage we will be doing this year after last year.
All of some of it.
Can't back that up, but we're gonna take a break. We're gonna have John the rest of the night off because he has not watched Loki. And consider yourself lucky, my friend, John.
Boo, boo, boo.
Talk to you soon. We're going to take one more break. On the other side, we're going to be talking about the penultimate episode of Loki, the Best Damn Nerd Show.
Hey, you. This is Sweet Johnny Cage from Tenno. I'm here to tell you about the next big thing coming in hot from our production house. It's called the Game Club Podcast. Join me and our diverse panel of game masters as we discuss our experiences playing some of our favorite video games, whether it's a remake of a classic game from our childhoods, a game we might have missed during the height of its release, or a brand new title that tickled our collective fancy, you're sure to love what we have to say. Who knows? Maybe you'll learn something about a game you never considered playing. I know I have. Find us on Spotify under Game Club today.
It's the microphone alchemist Bimbo Jimbo here, of course, formerly the Jedi Master, and we are so happy to be back delivering to you the nerdy content that you need to make it through your Muggle work week. And we want to hear from you, Nerdosphere. So be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Zunes, or other non-name brand MP3 playing devices everywhere, or however you consume your weekly interval. Whether you agree with me that The Last Jedi was a crime against Star Wars, or that you think that my hosting warrants being mauled by a bear, leave us a 5-star review, make us laugh, smile, or cry in that review, and there is a good chance that you will hear it read on a future episode of the Best Damn Nerd Show. So be sure to rate and review us. It's the best way that you can help the BDNS keep saying it loud and proud for years to come.
It's me, Iron Nerd Min-Maxer, Hanzo Gonzo, inviting you into kitchen... The Tenno Media Arena to see whose nerdiness will reign supreme. No, we're gonna get sued. If you, will triumph a lotly. Come check out all the battles on the Tenno Media Network Patreon, or you can just skip to the parts where Steve physically breaks something for no reason. See you there.
And welcome back to the Best Damn Nerd Show. Giving John the rest of the night off because he's not watching what we're about to talk about, which is, of course, Loki, or Lo-T, as I like to call it, aired its penultimate episode of the series this past week. And Davis and I have been dutifully watching along and sort of opposite sides of the coin on how much we've been enjoying it.
You don't speak for me.
That's why I said opposite sides of the coin.
I know, but you don't know how much I'm enjoying or not enjoying it. Maybe I switched this episode. Maybe I hate it now.
I saw your comments in Discord, bestdamnnerdshow.com/Discord, if you too wish to opine. But yes, we're going to be talking about Loki. Thank God it is almost done, because it is plummeting week over week, and it is this week I left with the impression that it is worse than the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And that's where I have come down on it, is of the three Disney Plus MCU series that we've gotten so far, Loki is now the worst, in my opinion, that we've got. Yeah, you blink all you want at the camera, Davis. That's
what
I'm coming
out.
But before we get into episode 5, that's just the juice goose, baby. But before we get into the dirty detail of episode 5, you were not on last week, and Imperial Commissar Jeff Budd has rightfully recused himself from watching this derivative drivel. So we could not discuss Loki. I, as the sin eater of the Best Damn Nerd Show, am consuming it. What did you think of last week's episode before we get into the most current?
Man, I am trying to think what was last week's
episode. Oh, really? Because it's so boring you can't remember?
No, because it's all one fluid, good story that I'm like, man.
Dead, but nobody cares. Timekeepers are robots.
No, that was the fifth episode.
That was four.
That was five.
No, that was four when they had the fight in the room.
That was four. Okay, now I know where I'm at. Here we go. Episode four was actually probably second weakest of the series so far. But I will say it brought more intrigue to me for the TVA, which I am still, this is still my driving point, is that they are still, it's still the mystery box, you know, it's the J.J. Abrams, what's in the box, but I actually feel like I'm going to know what's in the freaking box this time, which is great, because after this fifth episode, I definitely feel like we're going to get some resolution to this at some point.
Well, but line from 4 and 5 that I will be bringing up is related to the TVA and this whole, we're variants, and how quickly in episodes 4 and 5, characters that are supposed to have depth or longstanding loyalty to the TVA are just like, oh my God, this variant just blew my mind. Now I'm going to betray everything I've ever known. Really bad.
It's called shocking evidence, bro. When you find it, you're going, it's called science. When you get facts, you change opinions.
I mean, coming from the
when
conspiracy
I have
theory
good
guy,
information, I change my opinion.
I understand that, but it's just the level to which not only do they turn on the TVA, but are so blindly in support of two Loki variants is hilariously bad. It's so stupid, but let's get you shut that variant dog up before I prune it. But let's get into episode 5, Journey into Misery. I mean, Mystery. So let's get into it. The second to last episode of Loki. Davis, your thoughts. You said in Discord that it was the best episode of the series. I will cede the floor to you so so that both sides can be represented here. What did you like about it?
I just had fun. Like this was like the first episode where I felt like we were having fun with Loki of what his character could be and all the characters he has been or never has been when it's Alligator Loki, which was very fun to me. But no, and it had a lot of tie-ins to Marvel properties. I really enjoyed the visuals, and I think we're going to very much differ on this. I actually felt like the writing was very good in this episode. and I know, again from Discord,
dude,
that you did not feel that way.
This is the worst episode of the series so far.
No.
Easily.
And it is, I feel like it's tying a lot together. Whereas it's, I forget all my points I had on this now.
Oh,
because I was thinking about this all day and I've been drinking.
Yeah,
but,
I drink too. If I had to claim that I liked this series,
I just like where it's going. I think it's trying to say. I'm gonna remember once you start going. I know it, but to speak on the little quips that they've had from the Marvel properties, I mean, we got the Thanos copter. We got, I don't know if you saw it, but we got Thor in frog form in the jar. Did you okay. see it? Did you see
yeah.
it?
Yeah, but okay. What that Easter eggs do not a good show make.
No, 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 no. I'm just saying it was just or fun. Good writing. Like this is what good fun
oh
was.
Oh my god. Mjolnir was buried in the sediment of the void world. Who yeah. gives a shit?
And then we got some awesome had nothing to do with Marvel. But the USSS, I forget the ship name, but it was from one of the Philadelphia Project. It was a lot. It was a couple different conspiracy theories that they kind of went around to in this, and it was just fun to see that
those
they
people
not,
from Roanoke should have shown up.
Not only, you know, tied in some Marvel Easter eggs, but actually real world conspiracy Easter eggs as well, which was fun to me.
Yeah. So I took some notes on this one because I found it so objectionable.
That's how much you hate this show. That's how much you hate this show, that because you force yourself to watch it and you're like, no, I need notes. I need a notepad.
And there's a few things. Yes, I believe that this is the worst written episode of the series so far, and the worst written episode of any of the Disney Plus MCU shows. First of all, the characters that we have beyond variant Loki. And even Agent Mobius, who is honestly, I mean, he's been taken off the board in, you know, an entire episode and then separated from Loki. And we haven't really gotten near, it's only a 6-episode series. So you take him out for one episode, you're going to lose out on a lot of what could have been a very good character. But instead, I feel zero for any character in this show besides our Loki, and I feel less for him than I did when I came into this series. You're telling me that Judge Renslayer is a great character, or Officer Fatty is a great character, or Sylvie Karen Loki is a great character. You even agreed that Karen Loki was underwhelming, not intimidating, not a great character. And I will invoke the departed from this episode, John Craig, sort of harkened back to his talking about The Mandalorian when he claimed that the title was not about, you know, the Mando in the armor, but rather Baby Yoda. This one, the title Loki, this is a series now. It's blatantly apparent that this Loki title is about Sylvie. It's about Karen Loki. That's the story they're interested in telling. And we got multiple times throughout the series, like where our Loki from phase one, which, by the way, I will take you to task again for saying that we got phase one Loki at all in this series, is complete and utter shit, Davis. He acts nothing like phase one Loki whatsoever from the get go and hasn't at all. But this is a series that's a vehicle for Karen Loki and Sylvie. That's all this show is. I love in the fourth episode where we had to have a whole scene of Loki sitting with her and be like, oh no, you're amazing. You did all this as a little kid and I suck, but you're great. What the fuck? And he did it again in this episode. It's terrible.
I'm surprised you weren't a big fan of old Loki.
I'm getting there, and in terms.
Oh, okay. All right.
So if you want me to start with the positives, okay.
You love your old actors. You love them. Were they born before 1960? James is gonna love them.
Hey, Kirk Douglas is the true star of the silver screen, even in death. But yes, classic Loki was the. If you were looking for some type of high point in this episode, classic Loki is your Huckleberry. He was the best part, along with Miss Minutes, who I continue to be a fan of.
Do you think she's involved more so?
Yeah, probably, and they'll make that stupid too. If I'm being honest, like Miss Minutes came out a little bit tinged in this one as well in terms of her usage.
She's trying to hide some stuff. It was clear she was trying to, even from your favorite judge there,
Judge Renslayer. Just as a nothing. Like, no, who cares about Judge Renslayer?
I don't think we're supposed
to
care.
How could you?
We're not supposed to care about her.
Why does she get so much screen time?
Because she's still like the sub villain. Like, she's like the individual that's going to bring you to the villain.
I love in
still,
the early...
There's
the,
still no villain, really, outside of the TVA.
Early going of this show, there's a line where Renslayer is explaining how the TVA works and the sacred timeline, and Karen Loki just goes, nice, super believable. Completely undermining your own show. Like, what? Terrible writing. Awful. Nice. Super believable. I circled that one immediately. And what I did like classic Loki. I thought that one, seeing the old school comic book costume, like that's fun. I enjoy that.
Oh, you're having fun.
Not usually, not in this show, but I did like him. I liked how his powers looked. Well, when we talk about more of the finale of this episode itself, him building the, you know, the decoy city was cool. I do think he's still alive. You know, he could be like he said, you know, when he created an illusion so believable that, you know, Thanos couldn't tell that he was just debris. So he could just be that helmet. You know, he could have convinced whatever that.
I mean, there is a big theory that this whole thing is just a variant Loki. And I think one of three, I think he is one of the top three ideas right now of who is going to be at the end of time, as they say, in the void here.
Well, who are the, I've heard Kang being bandied about.
Kang's been kind of teased quite a bit. Loki... A variant of Loki is, I think, is actually probably the going favorite right now. If I were to put some Vegas moolah on it and push chips in, I'd go with, because this is a Loki show, and I think when you're going with the God of Mischief, you know, what better way to end it?
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, I could, maybe you shouldn't have started at all. probably. I want to, this is another thing in terms of phase one Loki that you were so keen on telling us that we were getting in this show. Sure. Phase one Loki, who went toe to toe with the Avengers and was one of Thanos's chosen lieutenants in this war, gets completely treated like a bitch by Kid Loki. How'd you like that? How much phase one Loki did you get in this episode, baby?
I think he's grown, you know, and we've seen through these episodes how he has probably gone into phase two Loki. And no, he is, you know, he especially when you're meeting that many variants of yourself, stuff is going to change you. You're going to have a different opinion on some things, especially when you're...
When did we get phase one Loki in this show, like you claimed?
From the beginning. And he's been growing ever since. And when you come across, as he did in episode 5, against so many different variants of yourself...
He even said in his own words that he wasn't even fazed by the alligator.
Exactly.
But
he's not surprised, because that's who he is. He could be anybody. Like, he understands the timelines now. He understands the variant process.
I know time moves differently in the TVA in terms of a passage experience, but very little has happened to this Loki to justify how he is now.
If you're going to see countless Lokis now, like... He saw so many.
Look, you didn't answer the thing. Kid Loki completely just upending the Loki that almost took out the Avengers.
At that point, he has seen how he is faulted and how he's just, his ways are not working. Like, that is not going to go anywhere. And I think that's where you get the current Loki and, in Endgame Loki is, you know, he loves his brother. You know, that's where the old Loki was kind of talking about how much he
I missed Thor because Loki is this great hero.
And therefore he brought up Asgard as his, like, that was so good that was the final thing that he, like, kind of brought up visually. Like, that spoke I thought that was very good writing. It was, that's what he had brought up to kind of face the Beast and try to get by him.
I did like that. I like the fact that he had an emphasis on sorcery. Didn't like, you know, the continued undermining of Loki as the character. Oh, he's oversensitive, like the rest of us. You know, this freaking Loki psychiatrist couch that we're on. It's just continually just chipping away.
The Gator is sensitive, bro. Don't mess with him,
dude. Yeah, too much alligator Loki too.
I enjoyed it. I've turned off so much of my brain with a lot of this, and
that explains why you're enjoying it, I suppose.
But then when I thought about it and why Loki is doing these things, it makes a lot of sense.
No, it does not. Loki survived. It's just what we do. What the what?
That is going to come back. And that is why.
Like, they're trying to make that a thing. And it's just a lazy, like, Loki survive. Ooh, what is that?
It's like the Tomorrow War that we talked about earlier, where it's very obvious that the Volcano Kid is coming back later. Okay. Yeah. When.
Tomorrow War in the MCU, in terms of the world building, Davis, a little bit different. And in the amount of source material to work off of.
Yeah, well, you know.
One's a throwaway popcorn movie.
Could have been a trilogy. Could have been. But. No, I think that that line, I think, is one of the key points why we're going to get our endgame villain here, which is a Loki.
Yeah, what do you want to see from that endgame Loki?
I don't think we're going to see much. I think he's actually probably going to be somehow connected to Kang, because I think they do want to get to Kang in the next phase. I think that'd be smart if they're going to go somewhere. But I don't know exactly what I would want to see from it. But I think it would end this series well. I would prefer it be a variant Loki compared to just being Kang and then throwing everybody into the Kang phase.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're throwing so much into this series that we're supposed to act like we care about anyway, that I wouldn't be surprised if it is Kang. And Kang's fine, but the idea that I'm supposed to nerdgasm over Kid Loki being involved, or Lady Loki being involved,
killed,
or Frog Thor, or anything like that is
killed
ridiculous.
Killed Thor, Kid Loki.
One of the all-time worst child actors. The acting in this series, outside of Tom Hiddleston and sometimes Owen Wilson, is absolutely atrocious.
And?
Nobody.
Old variant Loki.
Oh, yeah. Classic Loki's eye. He only had one episode. No, he was good. I'm sure if he was around for longer, though, he'd find a way to fuck it up.
He might be. You might see him next episode.
Yeah,
very
he could
well.
Be. I do think he's still alive.
There's a reason he was sitting on that planet for thousands of years.
Oh, my God. Yeah, let's talk about some great writing. No, this is our home. What? It is not their home. They are trapped in their self-described shark tank. It is not their home. That is absurd.
I think.
This is our home.
Yeah, they think they will be destroyed.
No, they have a free ticket out of Dodge, and they all of a sudden go, no, this is our home. Also, not to mention, they laugh in our Loki's face when he wants to try and concoct a plan. And then 2 minutes later, Kid Loki says, that's good enough for me, when Loki says that the female Karen Loki is the only one that he trusts and can take down the TVA. What? They laughed in his face a moment earlier.
They hadn't seen a female Loki before.
They hadn't seen her yet.
That is different. That is a different thing for them. They're like, whoa, we have a vagina somewhere. That's crazy. That's pretty cool. And especially with a kid, teen Loki, he's probably pretty hyped about that.
Yeah, let me, this is maybe the worst of the show, where I think it's Kid Loki says that you're different, and our Loki says, no, I'm the same as all of you, but not Karen Loki. have you ever seen a woman Loki? And classic Loki goes, oh, it sounds terrifying. And of course, Loki without me says, oh, she is. And she's different. She's the one that's different. This is a Sylvie show. It's crap.
It sounds sexist, James.
It's not. It's just the fact that it's poorly written. And you agreed with me that that Karen Loki has been incredibly underwhelming.
Yeah, up until I'd say the last 20 minutes of episode 4. Since then, I've liked her.
Why? What changed for you? She became the ultimate badass that knows everything.
No, not bad. I just felt more of a connection and more of a I wouldn't say maybe her acting got better, but maybe she bought into it more at that point. I just feel like she's more ingrained into the show now, and her role is just a little bit better. So
let's circle back to, I suppose, if we must, Alligator Loki. And
we must
the all too short appearance of Vote for Me Loki, biting his hand off like Chubbs and Happy Gilmore. what did you think of that? I could have done without the, especially the very cartoonish screaming of Vote for Me Loki.
Man, what his presence though, I will say, Vote for Me Loki had that phase one Loki.
It was the closest thing we got, but we got him for about 10 seconds.
That was like early phase one Loki there, probably. But I just like how they treated the alligator like a regular character, because they would do like screenshots to the reaction of each Loki, and then each time they go to the alligator, it's like it's the same look every time. It was great.
So hilarious, dude. It's so funny. And you know I go to laugh.
Come on, man. Thanos copter.
Dude, so funny. It was so good.
You didn't like the Thanos copter?
Dude, I don't like this show. And no no Frog Thor, no Thanos copter, no Alligator Loki is gonna be what pulls me into this.
But we weren't ever going to get those things elsewhere, so just throw us a bone.
Yeah, no, that's fine. If it was a bone thrown in a good show, then yes, it's some nice sprinkling on top of quality. This is sprinkling on top of shit.
Man, I feel like this is angel food cake.
I'm the same as all of you, but not Sylvie.
We got angel food cake with the vanilla frosting with sprinkles in this episode. And it was the best cake you've ever eaten.
I don't like angel food cake.
What?
All right.
Take note, everyone. This is the man that is leading you. You want to listen to this man that doesn't like angel food cake? That's unbelievable.
The continuing throughout the series mocking of the glorious purpose is as well. More undermining of phase one Loki, more undermining of Loki, the self-proclaimed of the MCU droids, the greatest villain we've ever gotten in the MCU, was burdened with glorious purpose. Well, I am burdened with purpose to tell you that this show sucks. And
it, he found how it about his purpose?
How about it's propping up Karen Loki. That's his glorious purpose. How about when the fight breaks out after dude gets his hand bit off by Alligator Loki, that our Loki, the Loki that took on the Avengers and nearly defeated them and hatched all those plans and fought with them and, again, nearly killed multiple of them, is just dancing around, prancing around, avoiding fighting, not able to fight.
Smart man. That's what I call it. I call it intelligence. He's very smart at Loki, is what I
completely
see.
Completely unable to fight, to enter the fray.
Did he have a weapon?
He didn't need a weapon. He hasn't needed one. He's completely ineffectual compared to Loki's that we've seen, or Loki that we saw in previous movies.
I'd say completely intellectual of dancing around and not getting in the way of people murdering each other.
Okay, so you're right.
Hard to die when you're not in the fight.
No, you're right. And he totally escaped of his own volition. Oh, wait, no, he needed classic Loki, who was fighting, to teleport them out of there. So,
of years experience.
Yeah, no. But good move not helping them to ensure that his plan of escape would go off without a hitch.
I mean, it seemed to work.
Yeah, it did. Him just dancing around. Go back and watch that scene and tell me how fucking great it is. It was ridiculous.
I didn't say it was a great scene.
It was ridiculous. Said,
hey, he avoided everything. That seems like a smart man. That's what I'd do.
This episode, and I know I'm just a broken record here, but I don't care. I don't care. This episode was so
You
bad.
Don't have to watch.
I do. Oh, but I do. And there's only one more episode, and then we're done. I am tired of all the mind-blown flame emoji MCU droid spewing fanatics out there that, and this takes me right to my next point, that Kid Loki, for as bad as he was, offered a new sort of mantra for me. And when he said, just because he's talking about Loki's plan, just because it's more complicated doesn't mean it's bad. And that's what Loki said. And Kid Loki offered back something that like a ray of light hit me for how I feel about the MCU lately. He said, it also doesn't mean it's good. And if you twist that around, just because it's more MCU doesn't mean it's good. Just because it's released doesn't mean it's good. And I'm here to shout that.
As long as you twist it around, as you said.
It's a nice new mantra. So thank you, Kid Loki, for that. Also, perhaps what should be the tagline of the entire series, it's best not to question it. When they're talking about Alligator Loki, but you can apply that to everything.
I love that line. It's like, yeah,
it's best not to question it. Is right because it falls apart when you do. But what else did you like? Go ahead. I feel like I've been dominating the conversation.
I just feel like everything you said, I've liked, and well, I'm just on the opposite end of you.
How about when
I enjoy, like, you know, fun, lighthearted.
Yeah, so
things.
Do I. Yeah, absolutely. Everything in its proper
good characters.
Yeah. Oh, really? What good characters have we gotten in this show that we didn't already have? Do you seriously think that Mobius is a good character?
I do.
What? Do you think that hug and they called each other friends at the end was earned? Because I don't. They've been separated for more of the show than they've been together.
But he brought him out,
that was,
out
that was
of the a, weeds.
Even more unearned emotion than what they tried to pull in Suicide Squad.
When you wake somebody up from a lifetime of lies, I'd call that person a friend.
No. And even it's back-to-back episodes, too, where they did the how about side-by-side with a friend or how about trusting a friend or whatever it was, and then the hug in this one, and then Mobius having, I still like you the best, to Karen Loki, because, of course, Karen Loki is the best. How about when she showed up into the void world and completely just immediately shit all over Loki's plan? And Mobius, all he can offer.
It was bad.
all low-T Mobius can offer is, yeah, she's pretty confident. It's like, give me a break, dude.
they laid her on pretty thick. I'm not going to say they didn't, but...
I like and then classic Loki. I mean, maybe he's me in spirit when he's talking to Mobius. He says, "Just like that, you're churning on the very thing you devoted your life to." Now, I grant you that does sound like me in Star Wars, but I also harken back to, it's best not to question it. It's just best not to question it. How about the blanket scene with the two Lokis? We down for some variant incest?
I am down for variant incest. Quite interested that a Disney Marvel show would do that, actually. And I find it compelling. How does that work? What does the kids look like? Are they twice as strong or are they twice as weak? I don't know. because how does that biology work when you're actually doing yourself from another universe? That's how much you love someone.
Well, you create the biggest Nexus event of all time, the Sexus event. I've got some more notes. Loki pulling an Ian Malcolm trying to distract the cloud monster was was funny to me. And like not funny in an intended way, like funny haha still stinks way. But I've got some other notes here. I think we're stronger than we realize. Once again, dude, you fought the Avengers.
But did he?
Yes, he did.
Did he?
Yes,
Without an Infinity Stone.
He took on the Avengers.
With an Infinity Stone.
So what?
He doesn't have that.
So
How confident should he feel without that?
The idea that we have a Loki that's not confident without an Infinity Stone is laughable to me.
No, I mean, he's still confident in, like, his powers.
It doesn't even jive with how he felt in this show. Because he's coming in talking about how he's the superior Loki and how great he is. And then all of a sudden, I think we're stronger than we realize. Dude went toe-to-toe with the Avengers. He got purposefully captured by the Avengers and didn't have his little Infinity Stone and still was confident in his plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is totally phase one, Loki, dude.
It is. I still
yeah.
So, yeah.
And then the whole...
You can't convince me otherwise.
All right, that's fair. I mean, I've laid out a lot of the quotes that I think are just trash writing. I skipped over that one officer that's now all pro Sylvie for whatever reasons and is just completely, you know, completely snowed by everything. But it was great seeing Miss Minutes, you know.
She's questioning everything.
I like that. Oh, God. Watch out. There are no...
Maybe Miss Minutes... is controlling the TVA.
You know what? Honestly,
that's
I'd be
number
fine
three.
With it. I'd be fine with it. Give me more Miss Minutes and less Sylvie, and I'd be totally down with that. Anything else I missed that you really liked? I feel like we've had a ball.
We have. This has been wonderful. I love telling you why you're wrong, and I love everybody in the Discord agreeing with me.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, man, all you MCU bots, good for you. Just everything that comes out.
We didn't like Falcon and Winter Soldier. I can't believe you think that show is better than this
Just
one.
Because it's more MCU doesn't mean it's good. With every passing episode of every show that they've released, it is only like, and I'm glad we brought back the podcast. Don't get me wrong. But I will say I was a much more contented man when it was roll credits on Endgame. It was just me and old man Cap being like, all right, we're done. So that's good. We had a good run. It's over now.
None of our current fans know what you used to be. You used to be so jolly and joyful and love things. Oh,
I'm glad you admit that, because until this, when I am now fully embracing the things stink.
I mean, it didn't last long. We might have got 2 years into the podcast and then things.
No, are you kidding me?
You had your joyful years.
I like lots of things, but just because it's a new shiny thing doesn't mean it's good. It doesn't mean we have to like it.
It doesn't.
Now, people argue I don't have to watch it, but I'm doing this podcast, and if you hear my voice, you're listening to it, so I do feel somewhat of a duty to consume some of it. What annoys me more are the morons out there that just like everything the MCU puts out because it has the MCU label on it.
Right.
You know? It's ridiculous.
I do know. And I do know how to pick from bad from right.
Do you?
Just like Iron Man 3 was amazing.
Fuck you, dude. That's where it all started to go wrong. Oh my gosh. I'm just looking over my notes here, making sure I got everything. Let's see. Re-entering a Mobius, very lame car escape. That was really
all
bad.
Right, if we're gonna go toe to toe next week, I'm gonna write notes.
Yeah, good. Well, I mean,
going off.
I thought you'd be prepared this week.
I'm prepared.
I just,
I watched it last night.
I wanted to get the quotes right because the writing was so bad. This is just because it connected so well. It did not connect well at all. No, it did not. Absolutely did not. No. And this also benefits from the fact that all the droids also want to love Tom Hiddleston so badly. Yet it's like this the slow boil of a frog in water. They are killing Tom Hiddleston Loki with this series.
I don't think he's been like groundbreaking. You know,
No, he hasn't. I mean, he's been very good. He's very charming.
No, but in this show, he's not been great. He's a good actor, and I think he's been fine. But I don't think if you were to watch this show, you would be like, "Oh, I love Loki."
Yeah, well, if you watched only this show, you would hardly see him even look like Loki. He's wearing that stupid tie and shirt the whole time. It's like, oh, but he can conjure up a little holder for his dagger that stupid ass kid Loki gives him. But we're still you know,
yeah, wearing the suit too, tie
gimmick. What? Yeah, he conjured up the blanket too. But not anything that would make him look like Loki, because we'd hate to confuse the fans, because the Loki we care about is Karen Loki. So.
She doesn't look like a Loki either.
Yes, she does. She's got the horn gimmick on. She's got an actual outfit on. I grant you, she's terribly miscast, because we should have gotten the raven-haired Lady Loki from the comics and gone with a more traditional costume. But be that as it may, we didn't get that. We got one more episode left, Davis. I cannot wait to talk about the finale with you. So
I can't either, James.
So clear your schedule. Everybody get your popcorn ready.
Maybe a live viewing.
Can we do that? How's that?
Should we
just pop on afterward and do something? We'll have to workshop that. But
yeah,
it's
fun.
Yeah, we could see that. I mean, I wish that we were watching the show together. I really do. Because I could just be giving you the side eye, throughout the entire episode.
I wouldn't enjoy it. Like, I'm like, oh, I gotta listen to this a-hole all night.
Well, now you speak for the people. I can think of no better place to end off.
Think of a theme line. I gotta listen to this a-hole all night. Yeah, that's the podcast.
Yeah, that is going to do it for this edition of the Best Damn Nerd Show. Have a great week, everyone. Even you MCU drones. Remember, if you're a nerd, always say it loud and say it proud. And it's best not to question it.